You're listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Our podcast explores every corner of the cannabis industry with expert guests for a behind-the-scenes look at this rapidly evolving space. From business insights to cultural and community trends, we'll ensure you stay informed and ahead of the curve.
All right.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. It's Hybrid Marketing Co's office hours. I'm Tyler Jacobson, Director of Marketing at Hybrid, joined today by Aaron Rosenbluth and Matt Gillespie. Welcome, guys. And then today, we are going to talk about the difference between having a logo and having a brand. And Aaron, just as a heads up, I don't want you making the same mistake that I did. You are muted. So, all right, Matt, take us away.
Yeah.
What's the big difference?
Oh, there's so many. I think that the reality is when somebody says that they want a logo, deep down, they truly want something more than that. They want a brand. So I think a lot of it is just misunderstanding the terminology. Mm-hmm. That said, I think that a brand is so much deeper than an average person even thinks about. I think the analogy of an iceberg makes a lot of sense here. You know, the logo or your visual identity, maybe we call it, is that tip of the iceberg. It's what you can see. But it's everything that's underneath that that I would consider your brand. Your brand is, you know, above. Your brand includes the logo. Your brand includes the visual identity. But it's everything underneath that's supporting it that's making that visual identity or that logo successful.
No, I totally agree with that.
I think that's the big distinction.
You made me think of something really quickly while you were talking, Matt. It's the reason why we use the term brand all the time rather than using the word logo all the time. Like there's a reason that those two words exist and that they're used together, but they're not used in place of one another. You know what I mean? Like a logo is an aspect of the brand. The brand is far, like to your point, the iceberg, it's far deeper.
Right.
How can you tell if you're operating just in that space of just having a logo versus actually having this bigger brand presence?
I made myself another note that, I think is relevant here. So a logo, or again, I'll use the term visual identity too, because if we're talking about a product, your visual identity would also include like packaging. Mm-hmm. So your logo or your visual identity is what gets you the attention maybe initially, but the brand is what helps keep the interest, helps keep the engagement, helps build loyalty. So you might be able to attract people and customers all day long with a logo. You know, you do that as you're shopping through, a liquor store or even a grocery store. You see a product, the packaging, the visual identity might be the first thing that attracts you to it, right? But whether or not you are a loyal customer and keep purchasing it, you know, that's where the branding comes into play.
The brand keeps you there. That's cool. I like that. I like the way of terming that. Wait, Tyler, what's your question again, though? You asked.
Question. No, please. Yeah. So how do the brand know that if they're operating as a logo or as a brand?
I have an immediate answer for the cannabis industry that'll make Matt laugh.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But my immediate to ask how you know that in the cannabis industry is if you have a green cross.
I disagree with it.
Yeah, I disagree. I thought you might because you've disagreed with me on that before.
Because I think a green, I understand what you're saying. A green cross as your logo, a green cross as part of your brand identity. Agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. A green cross, I think, is a great visual representation for most Americans. I know it means something different once you go overseas, but it's a great visual representation for most Americans to know exactly what you are without having to ask too many questions. So I think a green cross is a very helpful shortcut before dispensaries to say, you know what we're selling within these doors. You don't have to wonder. Okay. Were you speaking more towards like that it is part of their brand? Like there's the cannabis leaf and then there's cross and like all these.
Yeah, I think where I'm getting at is sort of, and everyone listening, all of us, keep in mind that we're in Colorado and in the earliest days of legalization here, we still have it. some of the stores have closed, but the Broadway Mile, you know, the Green Mile, was it's this stretch of South Broadway in Colorado where many of the early dispensaries opened, and it was like driving down the street, kind of still in some places now. It's just green cross, leaf. So I think I'm coming at this with this sort of like green cross, can't bud leaf PTSD from what we saw in Colorado in the earliest days that is now you still see continuing.
On that same Green Mile, one of the most visible entities on there is cookies.
Yes. No Green Cross.
And that's not no Green Cross. No. Green.
Although they were a latecomer to that yes. mile.
Yeah.
So they're relatively new.
Yeah, they were. But again, if we're talking about a brand versus a logo, if you have, I don't know, it feels like you do have to have some familiarity with the industry and some of the names in the industry. But if you have that, you know, I would think that they'd be one of the first names that you're going to really know if you're a flower consumer.
I think I got an answer for your question, Tyler. And I think, you know, how we could help somebody understand if what they're operating with is simply a logo or if they truly have a brand. And I think that's the process you went through to get to where you are. So if we were to approach designing a logo or a visual identity for a customer, the process would start, like with anything, it would start with a discovery. We want to understand, you know, a little bit of background about the company. So we would go through a discovery to design a logo, just as we would to build a brand. I think from there, we would move directly into visuals, mood boarding, and then logo concepts, you know, and it would just be purely surface level aesthetic work to get you the end product. Mm. Now, if we were going to go and build a brand, there would be a different brand strategy framework that we would follow. And that would include, you know, identifying some internal branding. So purpose, vision, mission, core values. We would want to understand your target audience, do competitive analysis, look at positioning, establishing tone of voice and personality, building a message strategy. And then once all of that foundational work is done, we move into the visual identity.
Totally.
Then our visual identity is addressing everything that we've built before.
Yes. You're getting into like the meat of what really is the differentiator and creates a brand that has the potential to become a love brand or develop loyalty over time, like deep loyalty. It's when the brand is more than the sum of its parts. It feels connected to the persona's experience. And it feels connected to that experience because you, from the outset, have crafted everything to speak specifically to this person, you know, and you've personified the brand. Like you make me think of when we do tone of voice and personality, the reason we include a brand archetype is because we want to personify the brand. So the brand feels like a living person, thing, entity mm-hmm. that you want to interact with that represents some aspect of your life, who you want to be, who you think you are, who you think you aren't.
Right.
All of those things, like that's so much more than a logo.
I think another thing that's solved when you do go through that process is instead of designing the logo for your client, so if you skip, you know, a brand strategy framework and you just move directly into designing a logo, you're designing a logo to appease the client. You're designing it to their aesthetic preferences. If you're building a brand, you're designing a logo that's solving the problem and targeting the customer, not your client.
I'm going to ask a question that I wish I was answering, but I'm asking anyway. Would you say that the brand is making a promise with its visual identity that has to be delivered upon with the experience, product, et cetera, everything that follows that visual identity? Is that carrying the load of making a promise?
You're asking if the visual identity is making the promise?
Yes.
About the experience someone should expect?
Yes.
I think that it could. I'm trying to think of an example of a known brand that is making a promise with their visual identity.
Well, let's talk about cookies since we already were like, because
what liquid death of cannabis.
I mean,
oh, no, we're not talking about liquid death on this one.
Liquid deathism. It's a new disease.
Well, I think if we're talking about just design styles, you know, if you're designing your logo and your visual identity in a particular, you know, style that is that someone connects with, it's like, oh, this logo is for me. It feels like it's speaking to me. So I guess in that way, it would be making a promise. You know, you would, you know, if you go to shop there, or you go to purchase the product, you would think that it's like, this is for this type of person, which is me.
Yeah, I think.
But I don't think that's always true.
No, I agree. That's not always true. But I think that's why I brought up cookies, because we're thinking about the Green Mile and we talked about them. But if you think about, like, there's a vibe with the logo. I know the word vibe is overused, but there is, like, all of these brands that are deep and rich, there's an energy and a feeling created by that logo.
Yeah. It's youthful. It's, yes. You know, it's got this streetwear.
Yes.
So style.
You think that when you enter the store, you're going to have an experience that is wrapped around that vibe. You know,
right.
I will say that when my wife and I had our skincare company, it was very interesting to me because I designed our labels. And as you guys may know, I'm not a designer. So my old boss, Randall, over at Philosophy Communication, which was an agency that I used to work for, he redesigned them. And it was very clear in seeing that difference how much it elevated the brand. It went from something, you know, I mean, we got placement and it was nice and we were sold in a lot of stores, but now we were sold in a lot of stores and we looked like something that is worth putting your money towards. So I would say, that's what I was saying, I wish somebody was asking me that question, because I do think your visual identity is making a promise. But if you haven't really considered what promise your brand needs to make and how that needs to be communicated, then you are doing a disservice to your brand and probably leaving a fair amount of money on the table.
Oh, I'm sure. You're even making me think, when I think about what you just said too, I think about the way that your product would have appeared on the shelf before the logo had been worked on by a designer next to other products on the shelf that had a logo that was worked on by a skilled designer. You know,
someone. We looked humble.
You really tumble. I love that. That's a great way to say that.
It wasn't the worst packaging design, but it was not done by a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We think about that often. You know, we have clients that come in and want to compete and should, and they often have a great product, but the consumer won't necessarily find out that they have a great product because the consumer is going into a dispensary and looking at products that are superficially all the same. And so how are they going to make a selection if a bud tender isn't guiding them one way or another? There are, I don't need to name them, but there are obvious packaging standouts that everyone that we talk to in certain, you know, whether it's flower, edibles, et cetera, are going head to head with. And there's some strong leaders out there. So you really need to be thinking about how you're going to appear on the shelf.
Well, that's, you know, that goes back to Tyler's comment about, you know, does that visual identity make a promise? And when I think of selecting a product based on packaging, you know, when I buy a bottle of wine as a creative, as a designer, I generally, well, you know, I'll look at the type of grape, that's important to me. But, but beyond that, I'm looking at packaging design. And I expect a really well-designed label to be a good wine. And I think the same is true in cannabis packaging. So, you know, you better live up to that promise. If you're going to invest in, you know, very high-end, well-designed package, you know, make sure you also equally invest in the quality of your product, because you know, yes, you might have attracted somebody that first time with your visual identity, with your logo. But if your brand, which would also encompass the quality of your product, doesn't live up to it, then, you know, that's a one and done.
It's immediate disappointment. But if it does, like if the brand is great and the quality is great, you have potentially just converted a lifetime customer. Who's going to be thrilled to maybe they'll wear that your logo, your brand, maybe they'll wear it on their chest. You know, they're going to be into your, it's going to say something about them.
Well, I think the other thing from a business standpoint is if you assume that the top three in any category, the top three brands are probably making more than 50% of all of the revenue from that category. Yeah, you do have to stand out differently. You do have to be making a promise and you do have to fulfill it. And I think what I'm getting ready to say is very obvious for a dispensary, but it could definitely be helpful for a dispensary. But thinking about products, how important is it that everybody in the organization understands the brand and what it represents versus just the C-suite and the biggest, highest end decision makers?
Oh, I think it's hugely important.
I totally agree.
If you're gonna build a brand, you need to make sure everyone on your team is trained in that brand because they're representatives of the brand at the end of the day. They're the face of the brand oftentimes, especially at the dispensary level. You know, day in and day out, these people are face to face with your customers and they're a reflection of your brand. So if they don't understand your brand and your values and they're not living those same values and sharing those values in that experience with the customer, it's a reflection of your brand, not that person. You know, it's
totally, that's why you guys hear me say this all the time, but obviously people listening know. When I talk about brand, tone of voice and personality, we how many times have we been delivered documents that can be good from a prior agency who worked with one of our clients, and it's got one slide or one page about brand, tone of voice and personality, but it doesn't give anyone the tools to actually implement it, to apply that brand, tone of voice and personality, which it's critical. It, like, that's the narrative, the way that everyone in the company gets aligned and speaks clearly about who you are and what you do and why you do it. You know, it's like, it's one thing to deliver a document that has that one slide with all of that, but it's another thing to deliver something that actually gives people tools to help them understand how to say things appropriately.
And I think we're starting to see some examples of this because we're nerds and we pay attention to the industry. But how can cannabis brands develop a brand that can lower the stigma and ease the, let's say, more straight market and people who aren't quite sure if they should be cannabis consumers, if they should give it a shot? How can a brand develop that to kind of overcoming that potential stigma of being a cannabis brand?
I think this is where Aaron's work becomes incredibly vital in building a brand. And that's
yours.
Really?
Yeah. I want to hear it.
I think, you know, building that tone of voice and building a personality, coming out there with authenticity and you know, maybe an educational tone, you know, helpful. And I think that's vital, you know, knowing how to speak to people, not salesy, not pushy, you know, just meeting people where they are. So having a really solid tone of voice and personality that's designed to meet people where they are in your market. Sure, you're going to need a visual identity that aligns with that. And so if all of these pieces are working together, then sure, that's no problem. And the visual identity is still going to have to attract those people instead of turning them away. So you don't want gritty, raw, you know, stereotypical stoner culture aesthetics if you're trying to attract customers that are new to the product or, you know, maybe new and haven't experimented with the product since their teenage years or 20s or whatever, you know.
Forever.
So yeah, forever. Yeah.
That's
which
great.
Which a lot of people do now.
That's interesting.
Right, I think Aaron, counterpoint.
Yeah, I think the fact that I was like, my first thought was Matt, shows that all of this is, it's all part of the mix. But I appreciate what you just said, and I agree with you. I think about combining that appropriately applied and defined, well-defined brand, tone of voice and personality that is designed to make that new consumer feel, wherever they are on that journey, however old they are, their experience feel safe and comfortable. That, you also need a really beautiful, strong visual component that immediately expresses that same kind of feeling of comfort and calm and safety. You know, right. Like it makes me think of this is a bad example because you're not going to, well, sometimes you see things like this in a dispensary, but we see like the counterfeit packaging from I'll be honest, intoxicating hemp products that aren't necessarily of the greatest quality that are ripping off like Doritos. It's all this brash stuff. It kind of looks like the stuff that you would get in like a gas station when you're buying Nodos or one of those things, like that versus something that looks like a beautiful, you know, wellness product that's on a shelf, like a supplement or something that, you know, like two very different approaches, but that visual cue immediately inspires, like it takes your heart rate down. Have you ever seen something that kind of makes you feel like it's almost like a subtle calming effect just by looking at something beautiful that resonates with you? Mm-hmm. You marry that with a perfectly executed brand tone of voice and personality. You've got, you know, the perfect thing to bring in a new or a hesitant customer.
Right. Yeah. And I think, so, you know, there's a different responsibility if you're a retail establishment, you know, trying to meet these types of customers versus a brand. I think, you know, there's a ton of great examples of cannabis brands out there that have really clean, sophisticated, approachable packaging that would appeal to wide audiences. And, you know, 1906, I'm going to reference 1906.
Oh, yeah,
this is a brand that, you know, I've followed since the beginning, and they just always hit a home run when it comes to their packaging design. It's something that would appeal to an experienced cannabis consumer, but also it would totally appeal to somebody who has never experienced it before. And it does it in a way that's like, oh, this isn't scary. This is a sophisticated product. On the retail side, I think, you know, if you do have these types of customers shopping, think about, you know, sound design. What is the music that's playing in your stores? Amen. You know, is it loud? Is it overbearing? You know, think about how your staff is interacting with these customers. Make sure that they're trained to a point where they can read these signals and change how they're greeting people based on, you know, their level of comfort.
Gosh, Matt, I love so much what you're talking about. I'd even throw aroma in there. Yeah. Like the best branded experiences you have, you go in and there's a smell, you know, that is like captured by that space. There's the music. I mean, you're reminding me of the three of us in out of state visiting dispensaries for a client last year, and like being in one of their dispensaries and we're standing there and the music was so off-brand and off-putting that the three of us were completely distracted by it. Like it was absolutely, everything else about where we were standing was beautiful and perfect.
Right.
The soundtrack was awful.
It was wildly inconsistent too. It's like,
it made no sense. It was
everybody pick one song and add it to the playlist.
I don't know what you guys are complaining about. I like hamster dance.
Oh man, that's awesome. But all this, wait, really quickly, like this, when you paint this portrait, we're showing how much there is so much depth to a brand in this way. Like we're not talking about just visuals or even written messaging or the way you speak it. Now we're talking about customer experience, scent, sound design, interior design. I mean, all the full scope.
Let's think about that brand for a moment who did have the poor sound design within their dispensary experience. We know that there was tens of thousands of dollars put into their brand and put into their experience. And without guidance, it you're right, it does fall apart. The puzzle piece, that puzzle piece was missing, it was misshapen, and so you didn't really have a complete experience in that. And I think that's one place where especially dispensaries, because as you're saying, Aaron, it's almost every single sense is accounted for in a dispensary experience. And if you're not accounting for it as a dispensary owner, dispensary marketer, then it's not going to be coherent.
Absolutely. Right. We've all been to have one of those experiences where you've been somewhere, like you've stayed somewhere, or, you know, and you were wowed because every single tiny detail was considered, even the ones that you would think, you wouldn't consider it. You would never think to consider it. But somebody else did it for you. And while you're in there experiencing it, you're like, wow, I wouldn't have asked for this, but holy shit, it improve my experience was incredible because of it.
Right.
You know?
As things progress here, as a brand, let's say a brand, a company has established their brand now. Do they evolve it over the course of 5 to 10 years? What if it suddenly feels like it's irrelevant? Do you lean into that nostalgia? Do you change things up? Do you go back to the drawing board?
That's a great question. I've seen, you know, ideally you don't want to have to change your logo. Especially if you're thinking about a retail space where you've invested very heavily in signage. There's just so many costs associated with putting your logo on a building. Mm-hmm. So to change it, that's a big undertaking. I think that evolving your brand, like a brand evolution, we've done quite often in this space. We have a customer here in Colorado that we've gone through several iterations of brand evolutions, and that, you know, new websites, maybe shifts in color palette, maybe some assisting like store design elements that kind of change the vibe a little bit so that it meets the market where it is. This industry, everything is changing so quickly.
Yes.
You know, the people purchasing cannabis, everything, you know, we have new generations coming up in a time where it's available, that, you know, we all grew up in a time where it wasn't available in a retail store. So it's always changing. So I think evolving your brand is okay. And it's probably healthy to do, you know, reevaluating our messaging, our values. Is this who we are? But ideally you're not going to want to have to invest in changing your logo.
Unless you're at that point where it's like, where it just makes sense.
Sure.
Yes. Right. And you're ready for an investment that big. And I think that that's another misstep that smaller companies, especially, they're not anticipating all of the costs that come along with changing a logo.
Right.
And I think that can catch them off guard, but
go ahead. People don't think about, and I don't blame anyone for this. Like, we're not usually dealing with founders who are marketers, you know, or have a background in marketing. They're excited. They want to do something. They have a dream. They get a license. They've been in cultivation and they're going to set up their own brand, whatever it is. Like, they're just excited to be on the road and doing something. So it feels like we just need to get education out there broadly so that people understand that, hey, like, we know that you're passionate about doing this thing and we're excited for you. But don't forget about the criticality of this part, you know, like, this is, you don't want to have to back into this later.
It may feel like you can't afford it, honestly. I mean, especially as you're a small business, and I've been there, right? But the truth is, you're leaving so much money on the table. You can't afford not to. In a lot of situations, you at least have to put this level of thinking to it and have some professional be able to give you feedback on what's going on. And again, I know that from being in that seat. There's so many considerations that you just never accounted for, that only having seen brands on the road that you really start getting the sense of what you're getting into.
Right. I really think on the retail side, there's only two points of differentiation a dispensary can have nowadays. And that's going to be your location and your brand.
Yeah.
You know, you are undoubtedly going to be carrying the same products for approximately the same price as your nearest competitor. And that's never going to change. So, you know, you can control your location and you can control your brand. And so, you know, try not to cut corners when it comes to your brand, because that's what's going to set you apart from your competitors. On the product side of things, again, brand is super important. And I think technology, you know, you got to be doing something different. You can't just be another gummy that's just like all the other gummies. There's got to be something very unique about it. So, but again, brand is a huge differentiation point. So
it's
worth the investment in the end.
It's real currency. Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's It's everything. It's the thing that makes us love a product, a brand. It's the thing that makes us love a brand. Brand is the thing.
Right. My dogs are going crazy, so I'm sure we're going to hear some barking in the background, but that's okay. I think it's them letting us know that it's time to wrap up here.
That's so right.
If you just have a logo and not a brand, reach out to us. You can find us at hybridmarketingco.com. You can follow us on social media, send us an email, all of that stuff. Love to talk to you. Can you guys hear this?
Oh, yeah.
We can. They're excited.
All right. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Tune in next time for more expert insights into the evolving cannabis industry.